get a look at for our city. Be with one law club on, be with people in Eastern Kentucky during the church club. If we go through the church, may everything we do go to the sidewalk. Try to pray. Okay. Birthday.
Mountain. I got a birthday.
Oh, good. Wait a minute.
Okay, we'll
happy birthday to Hunter.
I want to take just a minute to talk about those people out in Eastern Kentucky. I've talked to several of the people here at church this morning, and it's kind of under the impression that we need to do something for those people or try to help some of those people. It's such a large-scale problem that we can't help everyone for sure. But there's one particular family there that lost four kids, ages 8 to 2, I think. And it's under some of the ones that I talked to thought it would be a good idea if we could help that particular family. Which the only way we could do that is we got to find out the parents' names and how we can get in contact with them. So Danny and Chuck knows that area, and I'm sure other people does too. They're going to work on trying to get the name of that family to where we can try to give them some kind of support. Well, and another thing is, right now, if we decided to try to help that family and buy them something that they would need, furniture or whatever, they really got nowhere to put that. So, it was Chuck's idea that we maybe wait a couple of weeks before we try to get anything in those people's hands. But I kind of want it, and the reason I bring this up is I got a call this morning from one of the people that attend here. That they're not able to be here this morning. But they said if the church did try to help somebody or do something to help those people, that they would like to participate as well. So I'm bringing up, or what I want to bring up is, I think the church would have put so many dollars into something. And if anybody in the church wants to add to that, we will open that up for them to be able to add to that if that's what they have, that they want to do. But we need to start collecting those funds probably and have it ready when the due ones become sent to that family. So anyway, if anybody's got any other opinions, be sure to bring them up. That's not the wrong way I know it happens.
Biggest thing, David, is right now when they're up there, they've got like all kinds of food, water, clothes running, thanks to, you know, everybody and stuff, and they need to really kind of wait a little bit, you know, because everybody's helping now, and then a couple of weeks from now, we can have like those individuals and find out exactly what they need, because right now they really don't need anything. They've got so much stuff they don't even have a place to put it. So, but we want you to be able to need stuff down the road. So, you know, if we can, like you said, the church put in the amount in that people want to donate to that, whatever the amount is. In a couple of weeks, I'll reach out to, and Chuck can too, I'll reach out to my cousin there, who knows pretty much everybody in that area. She's lived there all of her life, and she can help us find out what we need to do.
I think
it
would be neat if we could find out who they are. Send them a check right off to cover the burial expenses, and then I think it would be wonderful if we could just take them under our wing.
My understanding is I think the funeral home up there is going to provide.
Yeah.
I can find out for sure, but what I heard is that the funeral home is going to donate.
Yeah.
Donate the services.
Yeah. But if they need clothes, we can kind of see what all we have, or like you said, furniture, we all got extra furniture that we don't need to. We need to see where our.
I'll try to reach out to my cousin this evening. They're kind of hard to get to because I was just glad to hear from them yesterday.
Sure.
But their service goes in and out, and as soon as I reach her name's Darlene Sloan. I want to say Darlene Conley because that was her maiden name. But I'll reach out to her. They live there all their life, and she's got a brother up there named Eldon, my first cousins. And I'll reach out to them and try to get the name and stuff.
Okay.
And I'll try to report back next Sunday. But in the meantime, we need to go ahead and, you know, set up some way, you know, where people can make donations, I guess, give it to Christy and she can,
okay.
You know, when she puts it in, she knows that's a side. That's
you might have checked or something, just put blood on the bottom.
Right, on the bottom.
Put it in an envelope or something separate. Okay.
So we'll expect some more information coming on the flood. And I don't know if all of you heard, but Arnie mentioned that his wife had really appreciated the flowers that were sent to her. She's doing fine, recovering from surgery. I think the prayer list speaks for itself. Everything is on there, I think, that needs that I knew about anyway at the time. And I have just three additions to make. Number one, a new addition, Debbie Hager, is in the hospital with kidney failure. This is a friend of Marcia Patton, Debbie Hager. Mark Noel, Marcia's cousin, has been on our list for some time, but he's doing much better. He's gaining weight and doing well. And Mary Ann Kirby, who's Andrew's great aunt, isn't she? She's back in assisted living, but they did surgery, got all of her cancer in the surgery, and she's doing very well. So those few updates to our prayer list should help. We also, one other thing we need to consider is, I got a letter from the Jessamine County Fire District, and they will be raising money for their annual food drive. And we contributed last year to that, I think about $600. So give that some thought too, and we'll maybe decide on that next Sunday, okay? If you'd like to participate in that again.
Presley, I noticed you've got Melvina Brown on the prayer list, but she's very bad. I just give her a few days to live.
Okay, well, thank you for updating us on that, too. I didn't put that in the notes, but it is. They are expecting her to pass away soon. Just a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Where Paul says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. As we examine ourselves, some of you may feel you're not worthy to share in communion, thinking you're not good enough or you've constantly failing in your walk with God, and you've blown it again. Friends, I want to encourage you. This is the very reason Christ died. That's why he came. Tim Keller says it this way. He says, the irony of the gospel is that the only way to be worthy of it is to admit that you're completely unworthy of it. So this scripture is not a warning that we must be worthy before we partake of the Lord's Supper, because none of us could deserve to have Jesus die for us. No, it's a caution against partaking carelessly and thoughtlessly without discerning the Lord's body, without recognizing what it is we're remembering here. the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. So let's remember him together.
We thank you for another new day and the ability to be here in this church this morning. Lord, we live in such a troubled world nowadays that it is so nice to have you walk with us as we go through this life. And we know that having you in our heart doesn't keep unfortunate things from happening to us, but it sure makes it a lot easier when they do happen. And Lord, we are so thankful for your Son Jesus. Because if it wasn't for him, we would have no way of salvation. And once we had something happen in our life that wasn't pleasing to your eyes, we'd have no way to do that. But him being put to that cross and sacrificed for us allows us to have that opportunity for forgiveness. And we realize it took his body and his blood, and we partake of this cup and this bread which represents that. And we are so grateful. And from Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and may it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Will you sing with me? Number 545 would be a good song to begin with, I think. He lifted me. Let's sing the first and second and last verses, okay?
Thank you.
Number 505, Send the Light is the name of the song. It's one we've sung many times. Send the Light. For our prayer hymn, number 371, this is just a little one-line chorus, so let's sing all four of the verses as we stand together for prayer.
So good, he's so good to me.
Our gracious God, there are so many demands on our time and our energy, but we need sacred time with you. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone is doing and what we want to do. We sometimes forget you are our God. You are our hope and our refuge. You are our life. In this time that we spend together, we ask you to nudge us back toward you, dear Lord, for there's so much to distract us. Help us to focus on you. We want to focus on you. We need to focus on you. Lord, we are aware of so many needs in this world, some far away, some right in our own community or nearby, some in our own families. Certainly we want to include the flood victims in eastern Kentucky today. We pray you'll touch those on our prayer list with your healing power. We know that you will deal in your own time with those who bring hurt and loss to others in this world. But we ask you to show us how we can help deal with the damage that they do. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for forgiving us over and over again, because we are so prone to wander. Help us, Father, as we praise you and as we pray to you today in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Yes, don't forget, after church, if you'd like to sign a card for Brad and Gail Teeter and for Dorothy Kaufman, who suffered a stroke and is recovering. So, those will be up here on the piano. I've been dealing with a sinus infection this week, and I don't know if I ought to try to sing or not, but I'm going to try, and I hope you will be kind as you listen. We're told in the Bible that Enoch was a man who walked with God. The same is said of David, King David, and King Jehoshaphat after him. To walk with God, that's an interesting expression. I want to read some scripture from the 5th chapter of Genesis. Actually, a great deal of the 5th chapter of Genesis. This is the written account of Adam's line. Now that's not the right chapter. I'm looking at the wrong scripture entirely. Chapter 6, beginning verse 9, I'm sorry. I was sick this week. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a room for it, make a roof for it, and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. You talk about a staggering assignment. Wow. You know, when I was a youngster, I read comic books. I expect a lot of you did too. But I'm a little amazed at the devotion some people now give to those fantasy heroes in those colorful books. They're now called graphic novels instead of comic books. And it's a unique art form. But I believe the primary reason that adult men and women still enjoy reading comics is that they love heroes. You know? Those noble, courageous champions who stand for truth and save the day. All through history, we've had heroes. In ancient times, it was Odysseus, Hercules, King Arthur, Robin Hood. Every generation just adds a few more to the roster, like Sherlock Holmes, the Lone Ranger, James Bond, Luke Skywalker, Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, and the list goes on and on and on, you know. Superhero movies have dominated the box office for well over a decade now. So people all around the world have sort of a hunger for heroes. And I think God wove that into our hearts. We want a hero who will save us and keep us safe. Now, Ben Affleck is an actor who played the part of Batman. He said part of the appeal of superhero movies is wish fulfillment. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody who could save us from all this? Save us from our sins. Save us from ourselves. Save us from the consequences of our actions. Save us from people who are evil. Isn't that true? Wouldn't it be great? Amen. Nobody does heroes better than comic books. Give a fellow a colorful cape and a costume, and he'll go out and fight for truth and justice and save the day, if he has superpowers. These heroes can teach some valuable spiritual lessons too. I know of at least one person who, through reading comic books, was influenced to accept Christ, become a Christian. Well, lucky for us, the Bible is just chock full of heroes. They don't wear spandex. They don't fly around with capes. They don't inspire action figures or cartoon shows or blockbuster movies. They weren't perfect. They didn't become heroes because they were bitten by a radioactive spider or exposed to gamma rays. These heroes in the Bible were just ordinary folks. Like you and me. God empowered them to perform jaw-dropping miracles, conquer mighty armies, topple giants, save entire nations, and proclaim the good news of God's salvation. They are truly superheroes. So for the next few weeks, I hope, we're going to look at some of the Bible's greatest heroes, men and women of God. and maybe we'll find inspiration to follow in their steps. The first one of our biblical heroes is Noah. We just read about him. The story of Noah's Ark and the flood is one of the most beloved stories in the Bible. I think it has something to do with the floating zoo and the animals marching in two by two. And we picture Noah and his family huddled in this ship, all jammed together with all the animals, surrounded by elephants and walruses and a couple of long-necked giraffes sticking out the top. And everybody knows about Noah and his ark, but it's more than just a children's story, folks. It's a true story about sin and evil, about salvation and damnation, about one man's heroism in the face of a world-ending disaster. God said, I am going to destroy the world and everybody in it. Now, that's calls for a superhero. And Noah got tagged. First thing we learn about Noah is he was a different kind of hero. In order to really understand his story, we first have to understand the world in which Noah lived, and this scripture made it very clear. When Adam and Eve first disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, sin did not just slip in like a thief in the night. It came charging in like a herd of stampeding elephants. And in just a few generations, humanity became so corrupt, so crooked. The Bible says the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Violence, evil became so widespread that the thought of every person just oozed evil. And this broke God's heart. Scripture says the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. We fail the test of life. Given a choice between good and evil, humanity chose evil, pretty much, but one man was different. Different from all the rest. The Bible says Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. What made him different? Well, the scripture says Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. That made him stand out. Everybody else chose wrong, Noah chose right. Noah stood for God, and he demonstrated that it's possible to live a holy life even in an utterly heathen environment. It's not easy to be different. We naturally want to fit in with people around us, you know, follow the crowd. Nobody wants to be known as a weirdo. But sometimes it pays to be different. Mike DelCavo knows something about that. It was an NCAA cross-country championship held in Riverside, California. There were 128 runners in the race, and 123 of them took a wrong turn. They got off the course. One competitor, Mike DelCavo, turned the right way, stayed on the course, and began waving for other runners to follow him, but he was only able to convince four other runners to follow him. 123 of them were disqualified because they went the wrong way. And somebody asked Mike what his competitors thought of his decision not to go the way they were going. He said, well, they thought it was funny that I went the right way. It's not easy to be different, to go the right way when everyone else is going the wrong way. It's not easy. People probably laughed and sneered at Noah, too, building a great big boat in his backyard. What? But if you're a Christian, God calls you to be different from the world around you. Paul says in Romans, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, God doesn't want us to fit in with the corrupt culture and the immoral influence that's all around us. He wants us to let Him mold our minds and our morals. He wants us to be different. Heroes are different from the crowd. But how do you do that? How do you keep going down the right path when everybody else is going the wrong way? How did Noah remain different? Well, the answer is, he was not only a different hero, he was a devoted hero. The Bible sums up his secret when it says Noah walked with God. Now, several Old Testament characters were said to have walked with God. I've already mentioned them. And I don't think that means that he literally took long walks with God in Shillitoe Park or something like that. The Bible speaks of walking with God, he's referring to a lifestyle. That's the way he lived his life. To walk with God. To be close with God. To share your thoughts and your hopes with God. Noah enjoyed that kind of friendship with God. He walked with God. In fact, another translation says he walked in close fellowship with God, which makes it even a little closer. He was fully devoted to God. He devoted himself to knowing God and fellowshipping with God, sharing his heart with God and hearing God speak to him. I think Noah tried to find ways to make God smile. And his devotion to God is what gave him the power to be different from the people around us. When you spend time, a lot of time with someone, they tend to rub off on you. You might pick up some of their mannerisms or habits. Spend enough time with the same person and you begin finishing each other's sentences. Have you ever done that? I expect some of you have. But the same is true with your relationship with God. The more time you spend with God in prayer, in Bible study, in worship, the godlier you will become. And walking with God is not an activity that's reserved for just a few superheroes. God's been searching for walking partners all through history. People who will devote themselves to Him through prayer, reading His Word, absorbing His love and His wisdom. God wants all of His children to walk with Him. How about you? Have you devoted yourself to walking in close fellowship with God? Holy heroes are different from the world just for that reason. They're devoted to God. You can walk with God throughout your entire life here on earth. You can experience fellowship with the Creator of the universe. Now that's something. But on top of being different and being devoted, Noah was also a diligent hero. God warned Noah. He said, friend, I'm going to wipe everything out. It's going to be gone. I'm going to wipe humanity off the face of the earth. But God did not want humanity to end completely. He planned to give them a fresh start through Noah and his family. So he gave Noah the dimensions to build the ark. And we're so familiar with this story that sometimes we may miss the magnitude of this project. You may have some of it, idea of it if you've visited the Ark Encounter in northern Kentucky. The first thing that you feel when you see that, wow, that's big. Shaped like a barge, is taller than a four-story building, as long and wide as 1.5 football fields. They say somebody has figured up, and I don't know who it was, but they figured up that the amount of space in Noah's Ark was 1,396,000 cubic feet. That's roughly equivalent to 533 railroad boxcars. For Noah, building the ark without power tools or any kind of machinery, not to mention it filling full of animals and food and other supplies, that's a gargantuan challenge. Who could do that? But the Bible says Noah did everything exactly as God commanded. He carried out all the instructions. He harvested the wood. He cut it to God's specifications. He put it together. He covered it with tar to waterproof it, exactly as God specified. And they tell me that the specifications of the ark, well, no ship that large was built anytime until the late 1800s. But the dimensions that God gave were basic for keeping the ark stable in stormy waters. And they tell me that those are the relative dimensions that are still used in building ships, ocean-going ships. Well, Noah followed God's directions, because that's what Bible heroes do. I'm sure he didn't understand everything. How could he understand what was going to happen? And if he had failed to follow God's directions, it would have been truly disastrous. But he saved mankind from a certain doom. There's a story that's worthy of a comic book. But it's a true story. Noah demonstrates what it means to be a hero from a Christian perspective. Despite living in a corrupt and evil world, Noah remained committed to the Lord. He stayed in close fellowship with God, carried out God's commands. He became a hero by being different and devoted and diligent. And you can be too. Just like Noah couldn't save himself or his family, only God could do that. The same is true of us. We can't save ourselves. Only God can do that. But God promises to save you for all eternity. If you're ready to devote yourself to Him, follow His word, be different from the rest of the world. And if that's something you're considering, I wish you'd talk to me about it. Or just come forward while we sing our invitation. It's number 312. Lord, I'm coming home. We're going to sing just the first and the last verses as soon as we get our pianist. Who's doubling as a teacher this morning? There we go. Just the first and last verses while we stand and sing. Thank you. Forget to sign the cards for Brad and Gail Teeter and for Dorothy Kaufman before you leave. I would remind you today is World Forest Ranger Day. It's also National Harry Potter Birthday. They tell me it's National Avocado Day and National Cotton Candy Day. Also National Mutt Day. An Uncommon Musical Instrument Day. So if any of those excite you, enjoy them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we separate from one another now, let us never separate ourselves from you. We ask you to walk with us wherever we go, guiding our steps in paths of righteousness and avenues of service. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Will